Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading together at the 14th verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, no longer living for ourselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We live with an eye toward eternity. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. All this is from God. Now, from God, who, and here's our key word, who reconciled us to Himself. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ. The Heavenly Father has reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Our God is a reconciling God. 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 21 states this so very clearly. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he makes it very clear that through Jesus, God is reconciling the lost world to Himself. Apart from Christ, the world would remain hopelessly separated from God. For from the moment of the fall, as sin came into this creation, into God's creation, a separation existed between God the Father and His creation. It's by the work of Christ Jesus, the reconciling work of God, that the world, you and me, that we have the opportunity to be one with God. Apart from Christ, there is no reconciliation possible. Reconciliation is the objective work of God through Christ that has taken place at the cross. Without that, we as a world, as God's creation, from the fall to now, without that reconciling act of Christ, we would be separated hopelessly from our Heavenly Father. It is only through that reconciliation, that reconciling work on the cross, that we can even be in the presence of God. Through reconciliation, the love of God is poured out into our hearts, and through the Holy Spirit, we are made one with God. Entering into the Holy of Holies, entering in into the presence of God through the work of Christ on the cross. Now, reconciliation, it simply means that we are made one with God once again. At creation, the creation was one with God, walked with God in the cool of the evening in the garden, had communion with God. That communion, that relationship was broken through sin. But through the act of one, through the act of Jesus, this reconciliation occurs. And once again, oneness with God is possible. This oneness, it brings peace. It brings an access to God. And it brings wholeness to our lives. All found through the reconciliation made possible by Christ. Now, evangelist Greg Laurie, in session 2 of Tell Someone, the study we're doing on Wednesday nights, he says that the human condition apart from Christ is plagued by 4 debilitating issues. All right, the human condition apart from Christ is plagued by 4 debilitating issues. He says they are emptiness, loneliness, guilt, and the fear of death. Now, there may very well be more issues, but let's focus just on these 4 for a few minutes. 4 issues that the world apart from Christ suffers from. Now, we can, you know, we say the world collectively, but we can make this individually, put it on an individual basis, that the individual apart from Christ Jesus is suffering from 4 major issues: emptiness, loneliness, guilt, and the fear of death. Emptiness. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Emptiness. Emptiness. Many refer to a God-shaped void that is in our lives that can only be filled by God. It's not just an ordinary void, but it's a God-shaped void. Think of it perhaps maybe as a puzzle, and it takes the proper piece to fill the void. There is an emptiness in our human condition that can only be filled by God. Now, we try hopelessly, and we put a lot of effort into it, and we throw a lot of money at it, trying desperately to fill this emptiness, to fill this emptiness in our hearts, and try with so many different things. But the truth is that none of them can adequately fill that emptiness in our lives except God. For we are created by God to have this need for Him that apart from Him cannot be filled. There are people that are empty today. People, successful people, beautiful people, skinny people. that are empty. You look at their life, and by every appearance, they have it made. But yet, deep within, there is a void. Deep within, there is an emptiness, a desire for that to be satisfied. And they would give anything to have the emptiness filled. Failing to realize that what they need is a reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. Without this reconciliation and this emptiness being filled by God Himself, we remain restless. We will continue to strive hopelessly, and we will remain discontent. See, one of the most beautiful things about God coming and filling this void is that it brings peace. It brings contentment. In Him there is peace, contentment, and joy. Our soul is restless until it rests in God. The second issue that Greg Laurie mentions is loneliness. In Psalm 25:16, the psalmist cries out, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." I am lonely and afflicted. You know, one of the things that we love about the Psalms is that they speak honestly to the human condition. In many of the Psalms, as the psalmist cries out, we can identify, yeah, I'm there too. I feel the same way. The psalmist says, "Be gracious to me. I'm lonely. I'm afflicted." You know, there are people in this world that are lonely. Really, truly lonely. Even though they may be in a crowd of people, they're still lonely. I believe that that's the worst kind of loneliness that there is, to be lonely in a crowd. One of the first things that God said at creation was that it's not good for man to be alone. You all heard it said that before a man marries, he's incomplete. And when he's married, gets married, he's done. God said it's not good for man to be alone. It's possible to be alone, even in a crowd. Loneliness will manifest itself in thinking that you are not loved. Loneliness will manifest itself in causing you to think that no one cares. Loneliness will cause you to believe that no one understands, that you're just alone. See, apart from Christ, this loneliness is palatable, and many suffer from it. God's the answer to this pain. Reconciliation is the answer to this heartache. Jesus Himself says in Matthew 28:20, "Behold, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth." You see, when we're in Christ, we are not alone. He is always with us. In Deuteronomy 31:6, He says, "He will not leave you or forsake you." God can fill the lonely heart. The old hymn says, "What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Him." The third issue confronting those apart from Christ is guilt. Guilt arises from unresolved sin. Guilt can be debilitating, resulting in feelings of unworthiness and shame. So here we have emptiness as a universal condition apart from Christ. Emptiness. We have loneliness as a universal condition outside of Christ. And we have guilt, which is a debilitating emotion outside of Christ. In our guilt, we can't see how anyone could possibly love us, including God. And so this guilt can become overwhelming, and it can become a barrier between us and relationship with God and us and relationship with others. But the truth is that our guilt can be reconciled. Our guilt can be dealt with simply by asking forgiveness for our sins. Our sins, that's where our guilt comes from, is unresolved sin, right? But our guilt can be dealt with through forgiveness. Our sin can be forgiven, and our guilt can be erased. We may not be perfect, but we can walk in forgiveness. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do that right now. Father, forgive me. Lord, I've messed up so many times. This unresolved sin plagues my life. It makes me feel unworthy. It prevents me from coming to You with joy and expectation. And I know that You welcome me into Your presence. So right now, come. Wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, Lord. Though my sins be as scarlet, You make them like wool. So there's emptiness, there's loneliness, there's guilt. Number four, apart from Christ, we live in fear, especially the fear of death. The fear of death is universal. For most of it, it's the fear of the unknown. In Christ, the fear of death is overcome. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ became death for us. Listen to this. A passage that jumped out at me. It's like I don't ever recall it, reading it before, though I know I have. Hebrews 2:14 and 15 says, since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and set free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Man, what a powerful work of God. We don't have to fear death. For those that are in Christ, that have been reconciled, death is but the beginning of a grand and glorious eternity beyond our comprehension. John 14 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. We've heard this so many times. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house there are many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may always be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus answered, and he said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This morning, is there an emptiness in your life? I mean, be honest. Just because you're sitting here and got a nice smile on your face and in your Sunday finest, is there an emptiness in your life? Maybe it's plagued you for your whole life. Maybe you lack a sense of purpose. You feel incomplete. You know that there's more. You may see it in the lives of other people. And you wish you had what they had. You may be young, you may be old. But the truth is, you're empty. Are you lonely? No one understands. No one cares. Everywhere I go, I feel like I don't fit in. My heart aches to just have one true, genuine relationship. Somebody that understands me, that loves me. Well, I want to tell you, there's someone that not only loves you and understands you, but there's someone that died for you. And through his death, we are reconciled unto the Heavenly Father, and we are the benefactors of all his glorious promises that fill our those promises. His presence fills our emptiness. It lets us know that we're not alone. That we are worthy. And then there's the guilt. That debilitating guilt that says, I can't come unto the Father. I can't let anyone know what's in my heart. I've got to hide it constantly. I've got to pretend that I'm someone else. And our Lord says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from that restless, guilty heart. Come and be reconciled. And then lastly, there's that fear. That fear. I have a hard time relating to that. And I don't know, maybe there's something wrong with me, but maybe some of you are the same way. You really don't fear death. But there are many people that do. They fear that step into the unknown. They're just not sure. But in Christ Jesus, promise after promise after promise, as we are reconciled through Him, there is no reason for us to fear what ultimately is the greatest, most miraculous blessing of our lives. And that is to step from this existence into the eternity and forever be in the presence of our Heavenly Father. So this morning, we've come to a place where I want to ask you to look at your lives. Is there an emptiness? A loneliness? Unresolved guilt? Fear of death? I just want to ask you if you would, because you know, in a group this size, there's someone here that's struggling with these issues. Perhaps several. And this morning I want you to resolve these issues and be reconciled with God. To take that step. To be forgiven. To invite Christ into your life as Savior and Lord and be reconciled with God. Having that emptiness filled, having that loneliness met with the presence, your guilt absolved, and your fear stripped away by the truth of eternity. He said, I am the way for all this to happen. I am the way, the only way. Only way to resolve those issues is through the reconciling work of Christ. The only way. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. It's not some fanciful notion. It's not pop psychology. It's not Oprah or Dr. Phil. It's the truth. It's that truth that leads to life. Life abundant. Now may you be sanctified, holy, body, soul, and spirit, that at the coming of the Lord Jesus, He will find you reconciled with your Heavenly Father. God bless you. Have a great holiday.